Our bishop is Bishop Thomas Olmsted, and he expressed his goals about natural family planning to us who are on the board of the NFP board about a month after he landed in Phoenix, and that was 10 years ago. And he had a five-point plan. I'll never forget that board meeting because he was very direct, and he had it all thought out. And he said, you know, he had a five-point plan for natural family planning to move toward the full course implementation. First of all, he said he wanted to educate and inform the priests on NFP and theology of the body. Second, he said he wanted diocesan acceptance of all recognized and church-approved methods of NFP. He wanted everybody to play good, to be on the playground together and play nice with each other. And he wanted commitment to increasing the number of trained and certified NFP teachers, so he's going to give full support to get the teachers trained. He also committed to meeting with OBGYNs, Catholic OBGYN doctors, and to discuss NFP and the moral practice and of reproductive medicine, and included in that was our Catholic healthcare system, which made a lot of news in the last few years. Unfortunately, he also wanted to establish NFP reps in every parish in the diocese. So he gave us quite a laundry list, but he was pleased because, thankfully, we had an NFP nonprofit organization and in place at the time that was begun in 1974, and they have been working in conjunction with the diocese for all those years in providing the NFP portion of marriage prep that was required at the time, which at that time for 15 years the requirement had been a two-hour really full introduction to NFP, which was a non-method-specific introduction, with half of it being theology of the body and half of it the science and the physiology and the how-to and then how to learn. And at that time, about a fourth of our couples in the English-speaking community were going on to take a full course of natural family planning, and about a third of our Spanish-speaking couples were going ahead to take the full course of NFP. So we already had a pretty good groundswell of support for natural family planning in the diocese when Bishop arrived, and he felt like we could really get going and move toward full implementation. He was really happy with that work, and so at that time, we really kind of started about a six-year plan toward full implementation. It took a lot of time to build that support. And the new policy, which is called our Covenant of Love, and that was actually implemented in January of 2010. So we had, before that then, we drew together a task force. It was pretty large. I think there were 20 people on the task force. It included married couples, people who had been involved in marriage prep work, in the various, apostolates of marriage prep in our community, priests, deacons, and NFP leaders. And the policy went through various drafts and readings for many priests across the diocese so that there really was a spirit of collaboration and inclusion, that this wasn't a big surprise. The train had left the station. It was gaining momentum, and there was actually this feeling of excitement, and there was a real buzz about the policy coming. It's coming, which was really kind of cool. I forgot my clicker. Thank you. So in 2009, my office prepared a document that was entitled "Find Us Ready," that really kind of laid out the strategy, and I'll show you where you can find that, but it laid out the strategy that we used in order to get from this policy that we had in 1998 to the policy that we adopted beginning in January 2010. So 2009 in the summer, it was promulgated on the Feast of St. Anne Joachim. It was promulgated, NFP Awareness Week, and then the policy was in place for the beginning of 2010. So where our old policy had some analysis of current issues, and there was an explanation of God's plan and pastoral response to this crisis that we saw in our current culture, this was much deepened in our new policy, really looking sociologically at the landscape and how we had to respond to it pastorally. In our old policy, parish programs and diocesan programs were encouraged, and that was kept the same, except we also have the inclusion now of online programs. We have basic trainings, pretty short trainings for our marriage prep ministers and our marriage prep leaders, lay leaders, but this was strengthened. We provide much more thorough, you know, whole weekend trainings for those ministers today. We had two courses required in marriage prep before, approximately 14 hours of marriage prep in total amount of time. And now that is, you know, almost doubled to three courses and approximately 26 hours of marriage prep in the new policy. We only had the introduction that I mentioned before, the two hours of natural family planning. And now the full course was required in an approved method, and that was, we defined that as at least four meetings with NFP, after the NFP intro, which is now placed inside God's plan for joy-filled marriage. So one of these courses is God's plan for a joy-filled marriage. It's an all-day program of theology of the body, and at the end of that, an NFP couple comes in and gives an hour-long NFP talk. And in that case, it's not the theology of the body, because they just had that all day long. It's the second half, really, of the intro we had before. And then after that, they go to take a full course, which we define as at least four meetings. So you can see that takes, you know, 10 to 12 weeks to accomplish. Our, you know, I'll just tell you, the cost for prep for the couples increased too, but not a lot. We do offer scholarships, and we went from a 6-month to a 9-month prep period. So that's the difference. They really have a lot to do in that preparation time, and so they get started right away. Sometimes, you know, that it's not perfect. You know, they're not getting things straight in, you know, straight in a row, but it's really been a game changer. And all of our teachers, I will say, were a little bit scared to hear that we were going to be, you know, teaching now people who didn't want to be there, you know. And I can remember just feeling, you know, frightened myself as I went out in that very first class where, you know, it was a requirement, and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, having all of my friends praying for me. And it was tremendous. It was great. You know, so we really didn't have that, you know, stomping out or storming out, or we didn't have any of that. You know, we got frightened for nothing, really, because it's been really tremendous, actually. And so we do have this document that helped with the strategies is all found on a website. Teresa asked me to stick it on a website because last May, Bishop Olmsted, as part of the response to the HHS mandate, wrote a letter to all his brother bishops. And this is on the front of the webpage. And he also supplied an NFP DVD that we produced to them as a little gift. But he just really encouraged his bishops to use this critical moment in time to press forward with the good news of natural family planning. You know, this was the time. And now, you know, to do that, in that I got a lot of lovely letters back from many bishops across the country. And so this is something that he is very passionate about, and, you know, talking to other bishops about, and I'm sure, you know, some of you people here have enjoyed the fruit of that. We have some statistics and a strategic plan here and some videos. So this is actually for anybody to download any of our resources, slap your own diocese names on it, and use, you know, if you'd like to. And that's something that we want to share. So any questions about stage one, and then we're going to move on to stage two. Yes?
Is there any provision for existing marriages, couples within these classes? Do you have any statistics on the existing married couples coming to the engaged classes?
Coming to the engaged classes or to the NFP
the
classes?
NFP,
well, we don't keep really good statistics on that, but we do get them. But we have some, but that's really kind of the next focus we have. So we it's kind of interesting. We have this requirement of taking an intro or God's plan before you take the full course. Well, the problem is now the intro kind of went away, and all of our engaged couples have this process. So what about the already married couples? And so what we have to do now is just kind of do it parish by parish and try to offer some of that information in parishes to kind of get support for married couples taking the classes. But we do get them, but they're not the majority in our classes. I just don't have hard statistics on it. Yes?
We work from New Mexico, so we have kind of the same demographic as you do in Arizona. Do you find that the rural communities are, because we've got some very rural communities, are using online or
distance learning?
The distance learning type thing, or the
yes.
virtual classes?
Yes.
Are they basically using those?
They are. We do have, we have Phoenix, very metropolitan, and then we have some, Flagstaff, and then way out in the east part, we have, the Bullhead City and Lake Havasu City. So I have teachers for in-service, classroom-type classes in all of those areas. But then there's, the reservations, and there's some really outlying areas. And I would say if they can't find a class quickly that meets their needs time-wise, they're very quick to take online. We have a lot of online instruction.
Very receptive to trying to get that information.
Yes and no. I mean, some are, and some have said, not in my parish, unless one is overseas in the service or something like that. But we have given rubrics to the priests so that if they want to have a conversation about, an intelligent conversation about NFP after the class with their couples, then they can. And so that kind of, oh, okay, so I can quiz them. I can talk, mucus with them or something. It's like, yeah, Father. I don't know how many of them actually do that, but that did make them feel like, oh, I can do this. I can, chat with them. And we tell the couples who are going to take an online class, your priest may want to know what you learned. So, make sure you both learn. Yes.
Did the bishop actually meet with Catholic OBGYNs and Catholic hospitals, and was there any support generated?
Yes, he did. Bishop Olmsted was actually instrumental in the conversion of one OBGYN, and who's now an NFP-only OBGYN. And he was also instrumental in keeping one there that was going to leave after residency. But as far as healthcare, he had to remove the Eucharist and remove the Catholic name from one hospital. So it's been an ongoing struggle, but he still prays, and we still, try to be a present at the Catholic Physicians Guild, but we could certainly use more. We have made our NFP-only doctors extremely busy, very, very busy, Yes?
Did your statistics also apply that in your diocese, did you require this marriage preparation for convalidating?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, Pavel?
I had a question about insurance, so I don't know if you're going to get to that, but two things have come up for us. One is making sure that NFP teachers have professional liability insurance coverage, and that has become a major obstacle because if they can't get coverage under our diocesan policy, there's some umbrella coverage, it's about $800. So I don't know if you can.
When we were a nonprofit, we did find it, and it was with a company that also happened to carry insurance for all of our crisis pregnancy centers. So we always have had insurance for our teachers. Because we're in the diocese, they insure all of our teachers.
So if the teachers who work with you see clients that are not preferred by you, are they still covered?
That just doesn't happen in our structure.
So you're a close child.
I'm a control freak.
Okay.
Everybody runs through the diocese in our program.
So all clients are both the NFP provider groups, clients, and your clients.
Well, I should say, except for CCL, I don't presume to get into CCL, but we advertise for them, and they're on our website and all of that. So I would presume we would still go to bat for even CCL instructors if there was any insurance issue.
CCL does carry liability for all of our teachers.
So those teachers are doubly insured, but everybody else we insure.
And then the other thing that we were told to watch out for is householders insurance. So some of our NFP teachers want to see clients in their homes. Somebody slips and falls, what happens then? Do you have any policies around that?
We don't really encourage them to teach in their homes. We want to keep it a little bit more professional than that. So we set up all of their teaching sites, usually in parishes or the diocesan center. However, for one-on-ones, you know, and follow-ups, then sometimes they do have it in their home. And usually by then they've made a lot of rapport with the client. And but we don't. I don't really worry about that. Maybe I should. maybe I should be worried about that. I think the umbrella coverage that the diocese has would cover it. Now I'm going to have to go and check on that.
Sorry.
You've made me worry, Pavel. Yes.
You mentioned in your prior policy that you had training for marriage prep ministers and marriage prep leaders.
Lay leaders. So ministers being like deacons. Somebody who's been ordained, and lay leaders, couples who work.
So this was a training program for anybody involved in marriage preparation?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was very extensive. I mean, we had our dog and pony show going around the state for a year with these trainings. We had Katrina Zeno of the John Paul II Institute giving the theology of the body piece. I gave the NFP piece. Mike Phelan kind of did this sociological piece. We had a lot went into it. We had priests. We had canon lawyers. And really taught them for extensive amounts of time, so that there was nobody surprised about this policy change. It was a whole year of training like this.
Okay, but I thought this was referring to a policy that you had, an existing policy. I think what you're describing is a rollout strategy.
Right.
But what about your policy for the training of lay leaders who are involved in marriage preparation?
Well, they all had to be retrained, and this was part of the retraining. They all had to be retrained with the new policy because of God's plan, too, mm-hmm. that came in. It was quite different. Yes?
Did they have to sign something that they were going to follow the churches to follow what they were trained in? Or how did you handle that?
I think there were a few people that were kind of phased out. I wasn't part of that. Mike Phelan, who's here, too. Not in this room, but he's here, too. You might want to ask him. But all of our teachers do. You know, when they apply to us, they do have, you know, we really vet them pretty thoroughly on agreeing with the magisterium. So let me kind of talk about for a minute what our stage two will look like. And Rochelle will begin with what was happening. So that's really when we launched it then, kind of the do's and the don'ts. How did we promote it? How did we educate? And I've kind of, some of these stages overlap. The trainings prior to implementation, which were kind of alluded to, the mailings and workshops and seminars and trainings and how the laity worked with this. All of these things were really important. And it was really a huge investment in time and energy and money. And so Rochelle's going to talk about Fargo a little bit here.
Yeah, so